Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We're located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're glad you've tuned in. We pray that today's message is a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238 or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Daryl Jackson shares the message titled, The Power of Forgiveness, Faithful in the Little Things.
There's a word from the Lord this morning as we continue the series that we began on last Sunday entitled The Power of Faithfulness. Faithfulness is the seventh fruit of the Spirit that Paul outlines in Galatians chapter 5. At the beginning of this year, we said to you that this would be a year of spiritual empowerment. And we said to you on that first Sunday of this year, and now here we are, the second Sunday in October, said to you that God hopefully will allow us to go in detail on all of the fruit of the Spirit. And now we're on number 7, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Now we're looking at faithfulness. And in putting the series together, God reminded me that this is not just to challenge us to be faithful, but to encourage those who are faithful to just remain faithful, because sometimes we get weary in well-doing. Amen. But God says, I just want to remind you that there's a reward, amen, associated if you faint not. Matthew chapter 25 is where the text is found. One verse, the Amplified Version. I just want to make sure, do I have time to preach this? God has moved in a mighty way this morning, and we are so glad that God moved the way he did. But I want to share this word that God has given us for this day, for this moment. One verse in Matthew chapter 25, the Amplified Version, perhaps says it best for the message that we've chosen for today. Hear the reading of God's word. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Listen to this. This is where the subject is found. You have been faithful and trustworthy over a little. Somebody just shout a little, a little, a little. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in the joy of your master. And we ask God's blessings on the reading and the hearing of his word. You have been faithful and trustworthy over a little. The series is entitled The Power of Faithfulness. This second of 6 messages that God has given me for this series says this. Look at someone standing next to you and say to them, faithful in the little things. I clap those hands as you take your seats. Faithful in the little things. What I've discovered about life is that we have no problems having people to be recognized, celebrated for the so-called big things that they accomplish in life. In fact, we are a society that often appreciate, and we often celebrate those who have done, and I'm putting this in quotations, big things. for accomplishing what has been described, or what is often described, again in quotations, as major achievements. Reason I put it in quotations, because that's someone's opinion, okay? We often hear the expression, wow, they are really doing big things. We hear the expression about, man, you are doing it up. Man, you are doing it big. You are really blowing it up. You're doing big things. We even have colloquialized some modern expressions, mean, man, you have blown up. In other words, you've become big, big shot. You're doing big, big things. And I often wondered, Elder Fred Kersey, I often wondered why younger ministers, I mean much younger ministers, and I saw this trend, Pastor Lawson, and why they were so into cliches. I wondered that. And I am one who has been a student of human behavior all my life. And I take a whole lot of mental notes. And I saw a trend where young preachers in their 20s and stuff, early 30s, some even younger than that, they are really into cliches. And then it dawned on me, folk are looking for viral moments. They want to go viral. They want to blow up. They hope they say something that gets shared by thousands, if not even more, because they want to be big. Want it to blow up. And in our search, help me, Holy Ghost, for viral moments, we forget the ordinary moments that really change people's lives. And it is important to note that with God, it is often the little, quote, little things that have the biggest impact. I am so glad that God does not see as we see. And God judges the heart. If God was not like who he is, perhaps David would have never been king of Israel. For the Bible says when the prophet came, Samuel came to the house of Jesse, David's father, to anoint the next king of Israel. God told him the next king of Israel would be in this house. Even the prophet Samuel was caught up into his emotions and his feelings. Jesse had several sons, one of which was named Eliab, who was one of his oldest sons. He was tall, dark, handsome, strong, broad shoulders. He was a soldier. So Samuel walks in Jesse's house, and Samuel says, surely this has to be God's anointing. And God shoots him down, slaps him down, shuts him up, and said, no, no, Samuel, I don't see like you see. You look on the outward appearances, but I judge the heart. And the next anointed king wasn't even standing before Samuel at the time. His name was David. He was out there tending to the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, there has to be somebody else because God's in this. And listen to what Jesse says. Father of David said, there is one more, but I must warn you, he tends the sheep. In other words, he smells like sheep. He smells like outdoors. I didn't get a chance to get him all showered up and all pretty up. He's going to come in the house smelling like sheep. But is there anybody under the sound of my voice that's so glad that God did not judge your anointing by your appearance? David walks in the house and Samuel anoints David, and the oil that refused to flow on Eliab's head flowed throughout the body of David. In other words, God says, I don't see like you see. what you call little and insignificant is a big thing for me. Now, for the record, let me define when we speak of little things, in quotation, we're not talking about things that are small or insignificant. We are referring to things that other people view as small or insignificant. David never was insignificant. Samuel just thought he was. Jesse just thought he was. But while they thought he was insignificant, he was out there killing bears and lions. And God had to allow him to go through something, because if you never go through anything, you can't ever publish your testimony. May I preach? If David had not been neglected and overlooked, he never would have had the experience to write, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And so these things that others may think as small or insignificant are not small and insignificant to God. Faithfulness, somebody shout faithfulness. Faithfulness in little things may not seem that significant to some, but to God, it reveals the character and the heart of who we really are. If you want to know who somebody is, check them out when the light's not shining on them. Check them out when nobody is around to pat them on the back, when nobody's around to cheer them on. See what they do when there is no recognition. If you want to know the heart of a person, judge them by how they handle the menial, small in the eyes of others, tasks that they may have been assigned to. And I just want to let you know, do not ever promote someone thinking when they go higher, they'll get better. People who are lazy on the lower level tend to be lazy when they go up. If you are a lazy worker, you're going to be a lazy supervisor. Amen. Don't think I'm helping you. I can grow you out of who you are. No, you are who you are. And what you do will define who you are. Listen, I just don't want you to think I'm making this up. Listen to what the Bible says in Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, the New Living Translation. Look at somebody and say, "It's in the Word." It's in the Word. Amen. Since I preach to you every Sunday, I can't just make up stuff and get out of town, okay? It's in the Word. Here's what the Word says. The Word says, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large things. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. But if you are dishonest in little things, don't you marry somebody and say they just got a little lying problem. They just got a little cheating problem. Ain't no such thing as a little cheating problem. Okay? And what make you think that they've cheated on everybody but you? Help me understand that. Been married 5 times and cheated on all of them, and you think you're the savior. You're going to change them. No, they are who they are. Amen, somebody? And so here's what the Bible says. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with the greater responsibilities. And that is why, oh, thank you, God does not elevate, promote people who have not proven themselves to be loyal and faithful in the little that we do, but God doesn't. Faithfulness in the little things. May I preach this? Do I still have time to preach this? Faithfulness in the little things turns small seeds into a great and mighty harvest. It turns unnoticed service into divine promotions. It is often those small, unnoticed acts of faithfulness that open doors of opportunity, which lead to harvests of blessings that we will not have room enough to receive. I'll get to that at the end, but I just want to throw this in right now. You wonder why someone is blessed. And oftentimes we hate on someone's blessings or promotions or elevation without knowing the background of their story. You don't know how faithful someone has been. And when you look at them now, you have no idea what they've come through to be where they are now. Faithful in little things, open a harvest of blessings. Listen, I am totally convinced that if you can't tithe, and I said this last week, on $100, you can't tithe over $1,000. Some of you can't even tithe over $10. Amen. And then you wonder why, God, I don't understand why certain people keep getting blessed. Why Lawson and them keep getting blessed? Why they look so comfortable? Take trips, do all of that. You don't know their story. You don't know how raising family with little kids in the military, still faithful to God, paying their tithe and offering, showing up to church, praying for the other people. And when you see folk blessing, we start hating on where God has them now without knowing what they had to come through to be where they are. Oh, help me. Help me, somebody. Tell your neighbor, don't hate on my blessing. For you don't know my story. You don't know the struggles I've been through. You don't know what we had to go through to get where. Listen, I told the church this morning at 8, this is a true story. True story. I was a young father. My wife was a young mother. We were married at 23 and almost 21. She reminds me that she was just 20 when we got married. I said, you a month from 21, okay? We were young. We had nothing. Amen. We had made a major monumental decision in my life. I was enrolled in law school. I was on my way of being the next I.S. Levi Johnson. I was on my way of being the next Thurgood Marshall. And God says, quit law school and go back to seminary school and prepare for ministry. Go to graduate school, get a degree in theology, and prepare yourself for ministry. And in doing that, I had to abandon all of my previous earthly plans. And there came a time in my life, my wife was working full-time at the bank. I was working part-time, trying to make ends meet. We had a little bit of money, and we needed a whole lot done. A lot of bills and a little bit of money. Anybody's been there? Am I preaching in the right church? Now, I know some of you have never been in that situation, a lot of bills and a little bit of money. But to those of you who've had a lot of bills and a little bit of money, I just need you to jump one time and say, the Lord will make a way. Yes, he will. So here we are. Here we are, family. Antoine just was born. DJ was born. DJ was playing. Antoine, my wife tricked me. Okay? I'm just kidding, y'all. Okay? All right? So Antoine was born. Broke, busted, almost disgusted. Had to buy Pampers, food, formula, all of that. We added it up and said, we can't, something's got to give. And the devil is in our mind. Say, you cannot afford to pay tithe. I said, the devil is a liar. So my wife and I sit at the table. We said, we can't pay light bill. We can't do this and make a car payment. We've got to pay our tithe. So we had to make a decision. Do I pay my tithe or do I pay my car payment? And we decided to sell my favorite car. The car that I worked so hard for, the car that I loved so much, I had before we got married. In fact, I told my wife, I said, I'm not getting rid of this car. I said, I'll get me another before I get another car. That's when I was slipping, y'all, okay? But the Holy Ghost convicted us, sit at the table, and we said, we're going to pay our tithe. And I sold my favorite car to one of my favorite cousins who lives in Washington, D.C. And he has been on me all the time about getting it. He came. He was so happy. Somebody dropped him off. I say, I'll drop it off to you. He said, no, I'm coming to pick it up because you may change your mind. He got in my favorite car. It was a convertible, y'all. He dropped the top, drove down the driveway, and waved at me, smiling. I went in the house, tears streaming down my face. I said, Lord, what are you doing? I don't know what we're going to do, but the next Sunday I paid my tithe. And so when you see me now with multiple cars, don't you judge me until you have heard my story. Woo. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a story behind my blessings. How many of you know there's a story behind your blessings? When I see the Lord blessing you, I say, thank you, Lord. I know there's a story behind those blessings. When I see the Lord promoting you, thank you, Lord. I know there's a story behind those blessings. Look at the text. For the next few moments, let us look at this text. In this incredible text, known throughout the Bible as the parable of either the three servants or the talents. It depends on your translation. But in this text, the parable of the talents or the three servants, Jesus shares a powerful parable, a powerful story about the importance of faithfulness. This parable that Jesus gives emphasizes that before we are entrusted with much from the Lord, we must first prove ourselves to be trustworthy of a little. So Jesus uses this parable to remind his disciples of the importance of their faithfulness as it relates to their spiritual gifts, their natural abilities, and their financial resources and others. So he speaks in this parable of a wealthy man who was preparing for an extended journey, and how he entrusted three of his servants with his valuable resources. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14, go home and read it. Giving each one of them a different amount. Now, the King James and others says talents, but perhaps the New Living Translation says a bag of silver. Two bags of silver, and five bags of silver. So he gives them resources. Man, I'm going out of town. I'm going to give you the resource. Now, I must confess that I have always thought that he said to them, I need you to invest this, but he didn't. I read the text over again this morning in between 8 and 11 to make sure that I didn't get it wrong. He didn't tell them what to do with it. But you ought to know. Can I preach to somebody? Look at your neighbor and say, you ought to know. If God has blessed you with a gift, you ought to know you ought to use it. If God has blessed you with something special, you ought to know you ought to use it. Amen, somebody. And so he gives them, let's take the Living Translation because it's better understood. One bag of silver, two bags, and five bags of silver. To two of his servants, one, he gives five bags of silver. To the second, he gives two bags of silver. To the third, he gives one. Okay? Follow me. Five, two, and one. The two that he gave the most to, may I preach this? To the one that he gave five bags, he invested, he knew what to do with either the talents or the silver, whatever you choose, to do with what had been given to him. So he invested it, the man with five. And when the master returned, he said to the master, Master, I've taken what you've given me and I've invested it and I have doubled what you've given me. You gave me five, and when you came back, I had 10. The master said, well done, that good and faithful servant. you have been so faithful in a little, I will give you much more. And he gave him more. The one that he gave to, he came before the master and says, I too took what you had given me, and I turned two into four. The master once again said, well done. You have invested well. You have turned a little into a lot. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But the one, here's where I'm going. The one that he gave only one, the third servant, who was, according to his own words, concerned that the master was harsh and the master was conservative and the master did not want to lose anything. So what did he do with that one bag of silver? What did he do with that one talent? He did not invest it. He did not put it to use. He took it, and the Bible says he dug a hole in the ground and he buried it in the ground, keeping it safe and secure. But when his master returned, this servant, listen to this, only had what he was given. Nothing more and nothing less. That's how some folk are. I said to the church this morning, some of you have been saved for 20 years and you only had what you had 20 years. Nothing more, nothing less. You still saved, but that's it. You still come to church, but that's it. You've done nothing extra. You've done nothing less. Some of us just do enough to get, preach, Pastor Jackson, enough to check the box to say, to just get by. Nothing more, nothing less. The master was so disappointed in this third servant. He said to him in verse 26, the master described him as wicked and lazy. Lord have mercy. I said this morning again at 8, it's bad enough to be lazy. But when you're lazy and wicked, oh, you really do have some problems, okay? The master said, you are wicked and you are lazy. And I wondered, Lord, why was he so hard on him? Because to much that is given, much is required. If God gives you a talent or a bag of silver, if God gives something to you, God expects you to do something with what he has given you. Some of you sit on anointing that has never been used. Some of you have gifts and talents that you're never, I know I hear you singing in church loud, but I don't ever see you singing with the choir. I know you can do, and you want everybody else to usher you in, but you don't want to join it. I don't want to wear that uniform. I want to look good when I come to church. Amen. Not that y'all don't look good. Folk just want their own individuality on that. And as a result, the faithfulness takes a back seat to our ego and our pride and our desire to be highlighted ourselves. What does happen to this unfaithful servant? He says, you are wicked and you are lazy. And what did the master do? The master went even further. Verse 28, the text says, he took the one that the lazy, wicked servant had and he gave it to the one who already had 10, who already had more. Oh, good God Almighty. We get mad at blessed people who get more blessings without understanding that the only reason they've got more is because God can trust them to do what he's already given them to do. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, can you be trusted to use what you have? Can you be trusted to be faithful with the little job you have, with the little bit of money you got coming in, with the little anointing you have on your life? Can you be trusted with your gifts that God has already given you. The faithful servant got more. The wicked and the lazy servant lost everything. Now listen to verse 29. Jesus shares these words to those who use well what they are given. Look at the text. Even more will be given. And they will have, oh, here it is. Here it is. Folk wonder why you have an abundance. Here it is. Can I read it again? In fact, can y'all help me read it to somebody else? Look at somebody. It's on the board. Read it. Say, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And they will have... It's in the text, and they will have an abundance. Don't you hate on somebody when God gives them double for their trouble? Don't you hate on somebody that's already blessed and God blessed them to another level? Oh, I see that. I sense in my spirit. Can I speak what God has given me in my spirit? There's somebody in here that has already been blessed, and God said, I'm not through blessing you yet. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, are you in a position to get another blessing? I know you got your first blessing, but are you in position to receive another blessing? I just need about 100 folk that are ready and can tell God, you can trust me with another blessing. Somebody, who am I preaching to right now? Somebody, can God trust you with another blessing? Can God add, can he open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you would not have room enough to receive it? Look at the end of this text. He says, but from those who do, is it on the board? Is it on the board? Well, y'all help me preach. Look at your neighbors. I'm not talking about you. I'm just reading the scripture. Look at somebody said, but from those, look at somebody that said, I'm not talking about you. I'm just reading the scripture. That don't pay tithe, that don't work in the church, that don't help nobody else, that don't try to do anything good for anybody. I'm not talking about you. I'm just reading the word. Can I just read the word? But from those who do, no wonder you're not blessed. No wonder you can't pay your light bill. If you can't pay your tithe, you can't pay your light bill. No wonder you can't make ends meet. But to those who do, this is not Pastor Jackson's word, but those who do nothing, even what little, ooh, Pastor Lawson, can I preach this? What little God has done, given them, God's gonna take it away. Because tell your neighbor, it was never yours. Ooh. It was always God. What little you had, God's going to take it away. You don't have to have your name called. You don't have to give to be seen. But you just do what God has given you to do. And to much as I know that God holds me to a higher standard, I know that God expects me to do more. And I know that the more resources God gives me, the more I've got to help people. And there are times in my life that I know my own family says, when are you going to ever stop helping people? And I says, I can't stop because I remember what God has given me. And I know that God has blessed me to be a blessing. And if I ever want more blessings, I've got to keep being a blessing. Is there anybody in here that's ready to be a blessing? If you want a blessing, you've got the first. And what little they have will be taken away. Not only, and I'm almost done, did God take this wicked, lazy servant one bag of silver, one talent away, and gave it to someone else. God threw him into utter darkness and punishment. Read the text. God cast him into utter darkness and punishment. Because you would have been all right if you had nothing from the beginning. But if God entrusts you even with a little bit, God expects you to do something. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got to do something. You got to go out and do something. Three key insights as you stand to your feet. I'm done, but I want to share with you these three key insights. I told you at the beginning of this series, this would be a teaching series that God wanted me to share with you. Three key, vital, very important insights. And I need you to get your phone out, get your pencil and pad out. If you don't have either, then after service, we will have it on our website. These three key takeaways as it relates to faithfulness in little things. I need you to get this. Number one is this, faithfulness. In fact, can you help me? Open your mouth and say it with me. Faithfulness is not flashy, but fruitful. Don't get so carried away with all the glitter. Don't get so impressed with all the charismatic flashiness of people. There are a whole lot of people with a whole lot of flash, but no film. God told me that years ago. A flash with no film can create a moment, but it can't create something that's duplicated. Don't get so carried away with the charisma of certain things or certain people, and you fail to ask, are they fruitful? Are you changing anybody's life? Are you doing anything? Or you just singing until the roof comes out, but you are not changing any lives? Are you creating viral moments without viral transformation? Somebody say fruitful. Listen, point number one, subpoint to point number one. Faithfulness is not about impressing people. It's about being consistent before God. I think the thing that God cherishes more than anything else is what we cherish, consistency. What do you cherish in a relationship? Consistency. Just treat me the same. I don't wake up one morning and know what side of the bed you woke up on. Okay? Don't hug and kiss me at night and hit me side the head the next morning. Just be consistent in your relationship with me. What does God expect from us? Somebody say consistent, man. Second point, and point number one, what may seem small and insignificant to others is very important to God. To God it matters. In fact, I ought to create a hashtag, say, it matters to God. I like that, DJ. I like that upstairs. It matters to God. It may not matter to you. It matters to God. And I don't really do it for you, okay? It matters how I treat people to God. It matters for me doing what you may call menial, small tasks. It matters. Woo. It matters to God. Second key takeaway is faithfulness brings promotion. I talked about this in the message. Promotion from God, listen to this, is not based on your talent, your charisma, your intelligence, or your education. but on faithfulness. If greatness was based solely on education, then perhaps Bishop Jackson never would have done what he did. Amen. Here's a man, when he started this ministry, he wasn't ashamed to announce he was a pastor and went back to get his GED. He was a pastor saving souls and drove down Monticello Road to enroll in Columbia International after he got his GED. He tells the story, and I know time is of the essence, that how he didn't get his GED online because it wasn't possible then. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Can I tell the story, Elder Jennifer? Bishop Jackson, a pastor of a church, had to go back and get his GED by going to Midlands Tech, sitting in a classroom with other people who had dropped out of high school. He said, I remember sitting in that classroom and somebody said, aren't you that preacher? He said, I am, but I'm just doing what God. He wasn't ashamed that God was using him because of what? And God had already used him, and God passed over other people with all kinds of degrees to use him to create what we have here today. Because although he did not matriculate from the institutions of higher learning, he had faithfulness as a part of his character. And God rewards faithfulness. Faithfulness in the little things leads to greater opportunities and greater blessings. And I believe the reason why God blessed Bishop A.C. Jackson and those other 12 founding members is because they were faithful in the little things. And here's the third and the final one. Praise Him as we gather together. Faithfulness brings real joy. Viral moments don't really make you happy or bring you joy. I've known people who seek attention and get the attention and feel worse than they did before. But faithfulness allows us. Here's what the text says. Jesus says to the two faithful servants, enter into the joy of his master. The joy of his real joy comes from doing God's will. Real joy comes not from personal recognition, but to those of us who strive to live a life of faithfulness, here is my last sentence of this message. Jesus becomes the center of our joy. Ooh, somebody clap those hands. Is he the center of your joy? The altar is now open. Leave your seat, walk down the aisle, stand at this. When faithfulness is our real motive and ambition, then the center of my joy is not being written about in the newspapers. It's not being called the greatest church by somebody who really doesn't matter. But Jesus becomes the center of our joy. Here's my question to you. Are you faithful? I know you're talented. You may be anointed, highly educated, very intelligent, but are you faithful? Are you faithful? Can God count on you? Can God count on you? Can the Lord says, I know that they will always show up. I can give you little things to do, and I know that you will do right by what I've given you. Come on, someone right now, the altar is open. I want to pray for someone who perhaps you've been a little tired because you wondered if your faithfulness really matters. I'm here to tell you, yes, it does. Because the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Come on. Look at somebody and say, it matters to God. That's the hashtag. Why do you do what you do? Folk don't notice you. It matters to God. Why do you go as much as you go? It matters. Thank you, team. Friday night, we went to a church Friday night. It was cold. I was tired. Had worked all week long. My body was aching. And everything in me, Elder Cheryl, you were there, said, you don't want to do this. Only 25 members from that church were there. We took double more people with us. Small church, nobody really in a community, no name on billboard, nobody put it on the radio, Pastor Jackson is coming to this church. My tired body went to that church and preached, and as I was preaching and I called the members to the altar and tears streamed down their face, and the young interim pastor hugged me so tight. And he says, if you had not come, I perhaps would have walked away. I was feeling so discouraged. And God says, that's why I sent you there. That's why. And I cried with him. And I hugged him and his wife. And I says, God has a purpose for everything we do. Why? Because attention, viral moments, they're not the center of our joy. Jesus is. Come on, team, tell us.
Listen. Center of my joy.
Oh, that's good.
That's good and perfect. Comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do.
It's Jesus.
Jesus,
you are.
You're the center of my joy.
Have you ever lost your direction? Listen to this verse, that brother.
When I lost my direction.
You are
the compass for my way.
You are the fire and light.
You are the fire and light when nights are long and cold. In sadness, you are my laughter.
Ooh. Is that your
that
testimony?
Shatters all my fear.
Thank you, Lord.
When I'm all alone, your hand is there to hold. Oh, 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 Jesus, Jesus.
Everybody lift your voices. That's why you do it. That's why you do what you do. Close those eyes. I want to encourage someone. Don't you ever think that the so-called little things that you do don't matter. It matters to God. It matters to the only one that it really matters to, and that's God. Stay faithful. Remain faithful. Commit your life to something greater than yourself. Ooh. When we live a selfish life, it's all about us. Ooh. But when you commit your life to the Lord, it's no longer you, but it's God. Ooh. You've got to bury your own pride, your own ambition, and you've got to say, Lord, it matters to you. Ooh. I don't care what the community thinks. I don't care what folk label you as, what they think of you. What we do here at Bible Way matters to God. And that's the only judge that matters. Ooh. Not what people say or do. Ooh. Your life matters to God. After this prayer, if there's anyone right now, listen, I just feel in my spirit, sing softly, team. Somebody here, perhaps you have been feeling so insignificant. Ooh. You've been feeling so, I don't know if my life matters or not. The devil is a liar. Please put the hashtag back up again. It matters. It matters because it matters to God. Don't you let the devil steal your joy. Don't you let the devil steal where you are and what you're doing. Ooh. It matters. You matter. And after this prayer, to those of you who want to take that next journey, if you're here and you want to take that next step, amen, just remain at this altar, right? Don't let this moment pass you by. Eternal Father, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord, because we matter to you. It matters to you. Our faithfulness in the little things matters to you. Have your way, Lord. Move in a mighty way. Encourage those who are faithful to remain faithful. Challenge those who are not yet there to become faithful in what you are calling them to do. God, touch their lives. Remind them that greater blessings, greater opportunities, greater rewards will follow their faithfulness. God, I see windows of heaven being opened, businesses started, opportunities granted, just because someone has been faithful to you. This is our prayer. Your name we pray and give thanks. Ooh. And those who know it is so, help me say amen. Amen. If you are here today, come on. And you want, God is calling you right now. You want to make that commitment. If you want to make that commitment, this is your moment. Walk down the aisle and just stand at the altar. The elders and the ministers will meet you there. Amen. Somebody, this is your moment. Is this your moment, Jesus? Amen. Look at God. Yeah. Amen. Look at God. Somebody clap your hands right now. Amen. Can we clap our hands right now? Thank you. Oh. Come on, somebody help me sell. Your hand, somebody. Come on, Pastor Maggie. Take it up higher, team Jesus. Jesus, oh, you are. shout of praise for the word of God. The power of faithfulness. Faithful in the little things.
You've been listening to the worship services of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off I-77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services here on the radio. We're also streaming live on our website, bwcar.org, or on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and now on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you've missed any of our services and would like to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place your order for CD or DVD of today's message entitled The Power of Faithfulness, Faithful in the Little Things, please call us at 803-776-1238, reference sermon number 101225. Again, the number is 803-776-1238, sermon number 101225. October is Worship and Arts Month at Bible Way. Join us Sunday, October 26th at the 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. morning worship service for Homecoming 2025 Worship and Arts Day. Invite your family and friends to attend this next-level worship experience. That's October 26th here at Bible Way. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by checking the link on our website at bwcar.org. Or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to 73256. That's 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. Please don't mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 noon until 6 p.m. Thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.